Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Hicks, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. So buckle up, buttercups, and here we go. That first 12 months in Small Business Part 2. So here are the final four challenges. Challenge number 4, time management tightrope. Oh my goodness, wearing so many hats in business, how the hell can you do it? So I've come up with a couple of different ideas. First one is prioritization. So I know it's easy to say this, but sometimes you've just got to suck it up and try to do it the best you can. But you need to identify the high priority tasks that directly contribute to the business objectives and focus on completing them first. Use techniques such as the Eisenhower Matrix. Okay, now that's pretty top heavy, but you can categorize tasks based on urgency and importance. What I usually do is write down 5 or 6 tasks and work out the one that is due first and what I need to focus on. The ones that are also going to make you money, you need to work on them as well. So, scheduling. You can create a daily or a weekly schedule to allocate time for specific tasks and activities. Set aside dedicated blocks of time for focus works, meetings, and administrative tasks. Now, I do this in Google Calendar, but there are apps like Motion, which I think I've got an upcoming episode where I've got a new startup and he talks about actually using that Motion app. So, blocking or scheduling is really important. Utilizing tools and resources. I've just mentioned Motion, but there are time management tools and resources that will help you streamline workflows and improve productivity. If you're a techie type of person, if you're not, do it manually. Get a big diary. Doesn't matter. Do it however you have, but you need to be able to make sure that you're productive. So, this might include project management software, task management apps, and calendar tools to organize and track tasks efficiently. Delegation and outsourcing. This is a good one. Delegate tasks that can be handled by others or consider outsourcing certain functions to freelancers or third-party service providers. This will allow you as a business owner to focus on core activities that require your expertise and strategic decision making. Now, I know that's hard because sometimes if you outsource to family, they don't make it that priority. I always get the shudders when somebody says to me, oh yeah, no, I've got a great uncle who's going to build me a website. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. Because they're not getting paid for it. So they're going to do it on their time and their pace. And they're not going to have that urgency that small business owners really do thrive on. Time blocking. Block out specific periods of time for focus work on a particular task or projects, minimizing distractions and interruptions during those designated periods. Don't be frightened to turn your phone off. Don't look at the emails. Check your emails twice a day. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that time blocking works. And don't forget to look after yourself. Have regular breaks. Incorporate regular breaks into your schedule to avoid burnout and maintain productivity. And taking those short breaks throughout the day will help you recharge your energy and improve focus. Sometimes for me, it's just about changing focus and doing something like going to make a cuppa, going outside, having a walk around, having a look at the animals, doing whatever I need to do. Because I am fairly lucky I get to work from home. But those short breaks work. Benefits of outsourcing tasks. So this allows you to focus on core activities. Outsourcing non-core tasks allows business owners to focus their time and energy on activities that directly contribute to business growth and success. Yes, now I know that is going to mean that you've got to pay money out. And in a lot of the times when you're a small business owner, doing it yourself will save time and money. But if it doesn't save you time, then you might need to look at outsourcing it. So the other benefit outsourcing tasks is that you have access to specialized expertise. So by outsourcing those tasks to specialists or professionals, they will be able to do it so much quicker, faster, better. Okay, and they'll have skills that you may not have. And sometimes just giving it to somebody else to do, they'll get it done quicker, faster, better, and then you can move on. Cost savings. Outsourcing certain functions can be cost effective compared to hiring full-time employees or investing in expensive infrastructure and resources. So think about outsourcing. And there's many different ways you can outsource. If you get stuck on that one, reach out to me and I'll give you a whole heap of ideas about that. Increased efficiency. So by getting rid of those tasks, you can then focus on streamlined workflows and improve your efficiency by leveraging those external resources and capabilities. And you'll learn too. So make sure that you consider that. All right, challenge number five is building your dream team, the power of collaboration. Building a strong team is crucial for solo entrepreneurs, which is a really big word, but you know, just us business owners, even if you primarily work with virtual assistants or freelancers. So this is why it is a challenge, but collaboration can work. Scalability. As your business grows, you might need additional support to handle increasing workloads or expand into new areas. By building a team of virtual assistants or freelancers allows for scalability without the overhead of hiring full-time employees. So, you know, a bit project work based. Again, in that first 12 months, you may not have the money to do that, or you might land a contract, or you might have a big income coming in for something that you've sold or something that you've signed up to do. So then you need to think about that scalability. So if you are working with a team, it gives you diverse perspectives and skill sets, which can lead to innovative solutions and creative problem solving, because you can't do it all. You know, there's people out there with a huge range of skills that are either virtual assistants or somebody local that you can secure just to do some project work for you. And that whole diversity of bringing somebody else in can really enhance the quality of your work and drive that business success. Specialized expertise. So collaborating with individuals who have complementary skills and expertise allows us business owners to leverage specialized knowledge and capabilities that you may not possess yourselves. And it's a sort of a common theme in what I've been talking about. So this can enhance the overall capabilities of your business and enable it to offer a wider range of services or products. I do that with the website building part of my business. I don't build the websites. I have other people that do that for me, for clients, but they are quicker, faster, better than I am. But don't get me wrong. If there's an issue, I understand enough about how the website has been built, how it needs to function and all its little components, enough to get in there and fix or explain to a client. So you have to be across the top of the information in and around the item or task that you're outsourcing. And that, of course, allows me to offer a wider range of services or products, because I can say to people, I can build your website. So in saying all of that, you've got to have that work-life balance. So building a team can help you achieve better work-life balances by delegating those tasks and those responsibilities. And that allows you to focus on high-value activities while others handle the routine tasks or support functions. Now, when you are building a team with complementary skills, consider the following benefits, okay? Synergy, comprehensive solutions, and flexibility. So a team with complementary skills can synergize effectively, with each member contributing their unique strengths to achieve common goals. Now, this collaboration enhances productivity and fosters a positive working environment. So think about if you took on two part-time employees that might role share, or think about two VAs, one to handle the marketing and one to handle the invoicing part of your business. You know, they will have quite a good synergy happening together. Comprehensive solutions. By combining those different skill sets, a team can offer comprehensive solutions to clients or customers, and they can actually help you to address a broader range of needs and requirements. And you know that old saying, what is it? Two heads are better than one. Same thing. Flexibility. Having a diverse team with complementary skills provides flexibility to adapt to changing business demands and tackle a variety of projects or tasks efficiently. Anyone in business knows that your business can change remarkably in a six-month period, sometimes even 3 months, but it allows you to have, that flexibility if you've got a diverse team. Okay, so tips for finding and retaining talent in Victoria. Now, this is such a big thing. People are struggling to find staff, but there's a couple of different things that you can do. You can utilize networking events, online platforms, local job boards, referrals. And also too, if you are clear about your expectations, you will attract people. So, networking events. Attend industry-specific networking events, conferences, and meetups to connect with potential talent. That networking allows you to build relationships with freelancers, virtual assistants, and other professionals who might be a good fit for your team. At a local business breakfast here in our Shire a couple of weeks ago, I met three other people that do similar to what I do, but in different sectors. And I thought, oh my God, that's so cool. And I took those business cards and I have them here because I thought the next time a business owner asks me for a referral, I've got yet another three in my network that I can refer to. Online platforms, you need to utilize those platforms and marketplaces to find and hire in talent. So websites such as Upwork, Freelancer and Fiverr, okay, I know some of those have got bad views, but that's the ideas that, you know, I'm thinking about. And there will be so many others, but that will allow you to have a good look at their profiles, review portfolios, and then hire as you need. The other thing is chat to other business owners, see who they're using for outsourcing. Check local job boards and community forums for jobs postings and opportunities to connect with freelancers or virtual assistants in the area. So many small businesses often will say to me, Sam, do I hire virtual assistants here in Australia or overseas? Look, I've had good, bad, and ugly stories from both sides. But I tend to stick to the Aussie guys because they just understand the environment. Referrals. I think I mentioned that before. Talk to colleagues, peers, and other business owners and see who they've worked with. See if there's any people that they can refer you to because, my goodness, that's a valuable source and can often result in high-quality hires. Now, the last one, remember I mentioned clear expectations? You need to be able to communicate your expectations, your project requirements, and your timelines to freelancers or virtual assistants. Don't be one of those business owners that's fluffy and has no bloody idea. Write it down, have all of this nutted out before you engage or talk to a virtual assistant or somebody that is a freelancer. You need to have that clear direction because if you don't, it's not going to work and you want to be successful in that collaboration and you want to be able to have the opportunity to form a long-term relationship with that VA. You never know where it's going to lead you. Okay, so challenge six, compliance and legalities, keeping it all above board. Oh my goodness, compliance with business laws, regulations, licensing, permits and tax. Goodness, why would you be in a small business? The compliance is choking some of us, but it is essential to avoid legal penalties, fines or even business closure. Understanding those legal requirements ensures that your business can operate within the boundaries of the law and you don't get that knock on the door or that letter. Protection. Knowledge of business legalities helps protect the interests of the business and its stakeholders. It can prevent legal disputes, liability issues, and financial losses by ensuring the contracts, agreements, and transactions are legally sound and enforceable. Again, don't hesitate to seek outside advice. Risk management. Understanding the business legalities allows businesses to identify and mitigate legal risks effectively. By being aware of those potential legal issues and liabilities, you as a business can implement strategies to minimize exposure and protect assets. Because there's nothing worse than working your butt off and then finding out you didn't cross your T's and dot your I's and something has blown up in your face and it puts your business at risk. Now, I sort of mentioned some resources before, but I'm going to reiterate some. So Business Victoria, so that is that comprehensive resource of tools to help businesses such as yourself understand and comply with legal requirements. They offer guidance on licenses, permits, regulation, etc., etc. And don't forget, of course, your local government area, your local shire. Legal aid services. Legal aid services in Victoria offer free or low-cost legal advice, so check them out. Organisations such as Victoria Legal Aid will also be able to refer you on as well. The Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman is another valuable resource for businesses seeking assistance with legal matters and dispute resolution. They provide advocacy, support and mediation services for small businesses and family enterprises across Australia. So they do all sorts of things, including disputes with government agencies, commercial disputes, unfair contract terms, and access to judgment. So they are quite good because they actually offer independent voice for small businesses advocating for fair treatment and providing a level playing field in the business environment. They have a bit of a mixed bag, so make sure you check them out. Challenge number 7, the customer whisperer. You need to have a great understanding about your customers. So a fancy couple of words for this is ongoing customer learning, and it is really essential for business growth and adaptation in today's dynamic marketplace. Customers these days are not like the customers all those years ago. You need to understand customers' needs, preferences, and feedback. Allows that then for you to tailor products, services, and experiences to meet evolving demands effectively. And here's a couple of reasons why ongoing customer learning is crucial. Market insights, product improvement, and customer satisfaction and loyalty. So those market insights allow you to have a really good view or overview into market trends, competitor offerings, and emergency opportunities. And you need to stay attuned to your customer needs and behaviours. Businesses can identify new market niches and capitalise on emerging trends. Product improvement. Nothing better than getting customer feedback about a product. By listening to those customer suggestions, complaints, and preferences, you can enhance the quality, features, and functionality of your product offerings to better meet customer expectations. And it's all about attracting those new customers too. Customer satisfaction and loyalty. By actively soliciting and responding to customer feedback, businesses can demonstrate a commitment to customer satisfaction and loyalty. You need to be able to learn how to address those customer concerns and preferences, because that in turn fosters trust and strengthens relationships, leading to increased customer retention and advocacy. Now, how do we do that, Sam? Surveys is one way. So online surveys are a popular method for gathering structured feedback from customers. Now, I know it's hard. I don't know about you, but my inbox fills up every freaking day with online surveys, and I pick and choose if I'm going to do a survey. And I think if it's 5 or 10 minutes, I don't mind giving it. If it's 3 minutes and it's 4 questions, even better. But I actually don't mind doing online surveys because I think, well, the business behind that survey is looking to improve themselves. So you can distribute these surveys via email, website pop-ups, or social media channels. And you can cover a wide range of topics, from product satisfaction to service quality and overall customer experience. Or even better, pick up the phone and ask. That sometimes will give you instant feedback, and a customer loves nothing better than actually talking to the business owner. Reviews and testimonials. Now let's get Google reviews and testimonials happening. So you need to encourage those customers to leave reviews and testimonials on those platforms or specific review sites, because that provides valuable feedback and social proof for prospective customers. And if it's bad, just run with it. You know, thank you for your feedback. We didn't understand that this was a problem and we're going to rectify, but we so appreciate it. You know, can we reach you out in 3 months and let you know what we've done to improve? Social media interactions. You need to be able to monitor and engage with customers on social media platforms, because that allows you to gather real-time feedback, address customer inquiries and complaints, and foster meaningful conversations with the audience. Now, I'm not talking about you get 5,000 on one post that you've got to reply to all. Maybe reply to the top 5 or the top 10. That seems to be a bit of an industry standard, but that's a good way of getting customer feedback. Now, once you get a bit bigger as a business, there's fancy CRM tools, which are customer relationship management tools. Think of the basic Excel spreadsheet where you put a name, an address, and, you know, products that they buy. A CRM is just about managing and leveraging customer feedback effectively. So it allows you to centralize it, track interactions, and segment customers based on demographics, behaviors, or preferences. And a lot of industry software does that. If you're taking a new point of sale software on or a booking search engine, a lot of that will have an inbuilt CRM. So you need to be able to utilize that. You know, check the marketing efforts, track customer satisfaction metrics, and identify opportunities for upselling or cross-selling. So that is it. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me bang on about that first 12 months of being in business. That was part two. Look forward to catching up with you soon. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on social media, sign up for my newsletter, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. And remember, anything is possible, especially in northeast of Victoria. Till next time, cheerio.